Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter.
Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the internet marketing expertise your business needs. Today is Wednesday, September 24th, 2014. This is episode 91 of The Big Show. Wow, we're just about closing out on the era of double digits. This is great. Thanks so much for tuning in. As ever, I really, really appreciate you tuning in as ever. As I've mentioned many times before, I wouldn't do this without you. You know, it really just means so much to me to have you tune in every single week. So thanks so much. I want to start off today by building on an idea from a webinar I gave last week. It's amazing how time flies. I gave a webinar called Digital Marketing Directions, and I will link to that in the show notes, and I will post the slides from that in the show notes. And I talked about three trends that are affecting how your marketing strategy works in a big way. What I didn't talk about were the other trends. There's really six or seven that collectively put us in a world where it's all e-commerce. And due to the time restrictions on the webinar, I could only cover three. So today, I wanted to talk a little bit about another of those trends that I didn't get to talk about. And that trend is what I call D&D, disintermediation and disruption, or disintermediators and disruptors. Now, obviously, that's the folks who are either cutting out the middleman or becoming a new middleman. By disrupting existing business models. And there's plenty of examples of this. Uber and Airbnb and, you know, Etsy and all those folks who kind of create environments where producers can sell their products or make their services available to customers. Or in the case of somebody like an Airbnb, maybe disrupt existing business models, such as the hotel industry, or, you know, in the case of Etsy, disrupt people like eBay or Amazon, potentially. And the reason that they're so important is actually really well summed up by Seth Godin in a recent piece where he talks about how you're no longer able to reach everyone. You know, once upon a time, I'm paraphrasing Seth, I'm not quoting him directly, but he said, once upon a time, you know, we all read the same newspapers. We all watched the same TV shows. And today, that's no longer true. Today, a hit show on cable might only reach 1% of all the people watching TV. And so, you know, there's not this reach that you used to have where you could count on everybody standing around the water cooler tomorrow being able to talk about the same thing because they haven't seen it. They didn't read the same article. They didn't watch the same show. They didn't listen to the same thing on their drive or commute to work. And so you can't reach everybody the way you once did. And what I thought was interesting about that in particular is how companies are reacting to it, or in many cases, how they aren't. On the Harvard Business Review, there's a terrific post about how marketing teams are stuck in the past, and that the way marketing teams do things today at many companies and in many cases mirrors what they've done for the last, you know, 20 to 25 years, going back as early as 1990, you know, where their internal structure or their alignment or the way that they promote people based on either merit or time of service doesn't reflect the reality of how business needs to work today. Another one that they listed was the ability to make decisions based on data. I wrote a whole post about this a couple weeks ago, talking about the truth about data-driven marketing. And it really speaks to this whole idea of why you need to shift. And something I've talked about on this show many times, about how your strategy needs to be flexible and nimble enough to shift based on changing realities. Another thing that Harvard Business Review talked about was governance. You know, who has oversight? Who says yes or no, or gives the thumbs up or the thumbs down to different ideas? How do you move decisions forward? And is it sufficiently nimble that you can actually act and react swiftly to changing customer behaviors? Inc. magazine has this great profile of Jack Ma and Alibaba, who just went public last week. This big e-commerce platform provider out of China. And what's fascinating in the article to me is how Jack Ma, the CEO, keeps talking about needing to remain nimble. And this company, as it gets increasingly large, maintaining its ability to keep operating as a small one. And what Mr. Ma has done repeatedly is, as the business grows, he has split it into smaller subsidiaries so that each works nimbly and acts like a small company. And he said he'll just keep doing that. Every time they get too big, they'll break the company into smaller bits such that they can remain nimble in their core competency areas. Now, to be fair to him, that may be a great idea now, 10 years down the road. Who knows? Maybe technology will allow big companies to be as nimble today as small ones. But for now, it's a good idea. And you're seeing the companies who are doing really well thinking about how to do that. Also on Inc., they had a great post about why it pays to bring online offline. And they were talking about companies like Birchbox setting up stores. You know, and I thought they had this great model where they talked about how online, you know, you get lots of access to data. And again, we talked about data-driven decision-making a moment ago. You can make fixes quickly and easily. And obviously, people can share things online with just a click. They can share and tell their friends and promote your brand story so much effectively when your customers tell that story on your behalf. Of course, the flip side of offline and its benefits are you can have great customer insights because you're interacting with them at every step in the purchase path, every step in the process. You can talk to them, you can ask questions, and you can listen deeply to the questions that they ask you, that they ask your salespeople, that they ask the folks in support on the sales floor to help them with their needs. Hugely important. And of course, the other benefit is customers want it. Customers like to be able to go into a store and touch the product, feel the product, see the product firsthand. I've just bought an iPhone 6 Plus. I'm waiting for it to show up. And while I've gone into mobile phone stores and tried picking up Android phones of similar size, I'm still not sure what the iPhone is going to feel like in my hand. Yes, I bought it online. And yes, I'm pretty comfortable. I'm going to be happy with it. But I wanted that ability to actually pick up the phone and feel it before I bought it. And that's very typical for your customers, where they want to experience these things as much as possible. And I really think you're going to see over the coming couple of years, companies like Birchbox and people like that, look at what Apple's doing with Apple Pay. Companies understanding that their online presence and offline presence aren't competitors, but they really support one another and support customers as they make their purchase decision. Internet Retailer has a great article about Macy and the steps it's taking to link its stores to the web to compete against these guys. You know, they're accepting Apple Pay now, and they're going to start testing same-day shipping as they get into the holiday season. so that they can put products in customers' hands or in customers' homes easily, even though people might want to check it out in the store but might not want to carry it home in their car or on the subway or on the bus or however they get from the local Macy's back to their apartment or back to their home. That's a huge deal. And it underscores the need to serve your customers where they want you to help them, online, offline. Those are not relevant terms for your customers. What they care about is, can I use the product? Can I use the service? Can I sample the product? Can I sample the service? And can I buy the product or buy the service where I want and when I want and how I want? And that's really the important bit. And so your marketing strategy and your e-commerce strategy and your platforms and your products need to support your customers through those different channels and through those different media. And if they don't, the disintermediators and the disruptors are going to step right in and offer that. And suddenly you're going to find a new gatekeeper between you and the customer. And nobody wants that, right? Now, of course, we know who the big gatekeepers are who've been doing this a lot, and that's the AgFam folks, Apple, Google, Facebook, Amazon, Microsoft, and they're doing it already. You know, the RKG blog has a great post about how Google's price listing ads will now work on what they call their partner publishers, which in many cases is other retailers. They've got a screenshot right there that shows price listing ads on Walmart for products that Walmart sells. So it gets you great exposure. At the same time, you're now competing head-to-head with Walmart. The upside for you is Walmart now has to compete head-to-head with you. You just have to do a good job of explaining your values to your customer and your value to your customer such that they will choose you and actually make sure that they make the purchase through your channels, through the channels you care about. Now, before I wrap up for today, I want to show one more instance where this sort of change happens so quickly that you need to be able to react nimbly and quickly to what occurs in your customers' behaviors and in your competitors' behaviors. Larry Kim on WordStream's blog has a post about how Google has now suddenly taken the need for Google Plus sign up. Used to be when you signed up for a Gmail account, you were required to create a Google Plus profile at the same time. And now they no longer require that, which may mean that Google is moving away from integrating Google Plus into everything. So if you've been building a lot of energies around Google Plus to say, how do I use this for my business? It may be in 6 months' time, a year's time, something like that. That becomes less important. And if you haven't set up your structure and your functional alignment and your incentive systems appropriately for your employees and use data most effectively to drive your decision-making, then you risk losing business to your competitors as they do a more nimble job. And you risk losing control of your channels to the disruptors and to the disintermediators who come in and say, well, we're focusing on what the reality is today, and we're going to make those changes quickly and ably and nimbly such that we can actually serve customer needs most effectively. And that's really a core direction that you have to focus on, is how do we make sure we're continually understanding what our customers are, listening to what our customers' needs are, and helping them make a decision to choose us. And when you do a better job there, then you don't need to worry so much about being disrupted, and you don't need to worry so much about being disintermediated. Instead, what will occur is your competitors will need to worry about you. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are about out of time for this week. So as ever, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I want to remind you that you can subscribe to the podcast by going to timpeter.com/podcast and clicking on the subscribe link in any of the episodes posts you find there. You will also find the show notes for this episode at timpeter.com/podcast. You can also search for us, find us in iTunes or Stitcher Radio or your favorite podcatcher by doing a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or Plain Old Thinks Out Loud. And I want to remind you, you can email me. Just send me an email to podcast@timpeter.com. Again, that email address is podcast@timpeter.com. I do love to hear from you. I do so appreciate the fact that you tune in every single week. And I want to thank you so much for tuning in this week. I hope you have a great rest of the week, a fantastic weekend, and I'll look forward to seeing you right back here on Thinks Out Loud next week. Take care, everybody.